Hi guys. I'm going to talk about some hard stuff today, so I'm going to give a trigger warning for this episode. When I first started this series, I made a couple of episodes lightly touching on some of the physical incidents that I experienced with this man, and then I took them down. I took them down because I felt bad putting that out there. You know, he did suck me back in. I have had contact with him again, and he did suck me back in briefly, and got me feeling sorry for him again, and I took them down. And I think the other part of it was, you know, I was openly sharing really explicit, vulnerable information. And I thought, oh, maybe I'm oversharing. Maybe I'm sharing too much. You know, what if an employer listens to this? What if, you know, someone listens to this that I don't, like, necessarily feel comfortable having them listen what's happened to me? But today I decided to do this episode because I think it's important that I talk about the worst of the worst with this person. A lot of this series, I've explained how to deal with feelings of confusion, still having loving feelings towards someone who treats you so poorly, and, you know, I didn't want to hate him, and I still don't hate him, but it's time that I fully hold him accountable, and also it's time I fully use my voice and stop being ashamed of my experience and what I went through. And I'm brave enough to share it because I know there's other people out there who have gone through it. And that's what these recordings are for. These recordings are for other people who have gone through what I've gone through to have somewhere to go and listen and relate to somebody else. And in my healing process and in my time away from him, after breaking away from him, I've really come into this role of, you know, getting stronger and stronger and braver and more confident to talk about these things, to educate people on these things, to call it out, to call men like this out. You know, I think I was doing it like more with a filter on. So, you know, like if someone did listen to it who is in the field and it's like someone I work with, that it's not unprofessional. But what I realized is when I was getting out and I was going through it, what did I do? I got online and I, you know, Googled and found a bunch of stuff to listen to help me figure out and understand what I was going through. And some of that material included really intelligent professional women, some of them in healthcare, who explicitly talked about violence with their ex-partner, who explicitly talked about the nitty-gritty, the really ugly stuff that goes on in this type of relationship. And so today I decided I'm going to take my filter off. I'm going to take it off. I don't have 1 ounce of sympathy left in my bones for this person. He isn't, like, in no way, shape, or form ever going to convince me ever, ever, ever again that he feels sorry for what he did, he feels bad about it, that he cares about women, that he cares about anybody. Because he doesn't. And I think just taking today to really think about, you know, why did you go back, Jen? Why did you go back? You know, it is addictive. It is hard not to go back. But I think that I was to a point where I knew better, you know. And I started to really struggle again. And I went back to feel all better. You know, this is the person who causes the pain, but this is also the person who has the ability to take it all away, like I've said before. So that's part of it. And I think the other part of it is I just needed that one last time to really make sure that I had gotten this right. That he is never going to change. He has no ability to grow or change. He's an artificial plant. You can water it and you can take care of it, but it's plastic. It's never going to grow. So. I'll try to go over, like, the best way I can to explain how all this unfolded for me, at least the best I can, like, in an hour or so. Kind of how I put the puzzle together. Took me a while, but I did it. So we have this inside joke, which isn't really funny at all, but we have this inside joke around Ted Bundy. And so anytime he would act crazy or he would be gaslighting me or lying to me after I had really become strong and confident in my opinion of him and, you know, who he is a lot of the time, I started calling him Ted. So anytime he would do this to me, he would display this abusive behavior to me. And he would say something to me like, "You don't know everything. I didn't do it." You know, something like that. I'd go, "Okay, Ted." And that was kind of my way of communicating to him, "Okay, like, just stop trying because I know you're lying." You know, the first time I ever was sitting in that chair and I was presented with this idea that my partner had traits of psychopathy, might be a psychopath, I just kind of thought it was like super off, like out of this world. I'm just like, okay, whatever, what the fuck. And then I saw that list and I think, like, in that moment, that was the first time I really had to accept, okay, I'm not dealing with someone who has all these emotions and hurt feelings that they need to sort out. I'm dealing with someone who doesn't feel much of anything. And that was helpful for me to have that reality check from this person who helped me. But I think it just became so interesting. And then Like, that's kind of when this dynamic started. That's when the dynamic shifted between he and I. At first, he was like Prince Charming, you know, coming to save me. He was such a good guy. He'd always tell me, like, I'm different. I'm different from other men. I'm not going to do that to you, which he says to everybody. And then when I found this out about him, you know, when someone was telling me about this, of course I defended him. Like, I was just like, no, like, I don't think this is what I'm dealing with. I was in denial, but it was kind of in the back of my mind, and I was like, shit, maybe this is what I'm dealing with. And so I think from there going forward, it became this new dynamic, because I didn't trust him anymore. I don't know if you're this, you might be this, but I'm going to find out. So right around this time, right, this side of things was all like very new to me. I hadn't really like read about it. I didn't even really like understand it. I'd heard the term psychopath before, but I didn't like really know what it was. So right around this time when all of this was going down with he and I, and he started to really display this super devious behavior, and I was getting really confused about why I was so sexually attracted to him still. This Netflix series came out about Ted Bundy, and I remember we watched that together. He wanted to watch it. He's in law enforcement, so he was like, we were always watching like crime shows and stuff, but he's like, oh, like the new Bundy tapes came out, we should watch it. So we spent the day at his parents, and we were there by ourselves, and I just laid on the couch with him, and we like binged watched this series. It was like 4 hours long or something. And I remember watching that with him, and that was like the first experience I had where I kind of got really scared. I got really scared because I was watching this thing in front of my eyes explain to me the behavior that I was experiencing. Now, this man's never killed anybody, and I don't know that he ever will. I've wondered sometimes. But the persona and the ability to convince women and just kind of have this like effect on them, you know, it was really interesting to me, and I related to it right away when I was watching that. I was like, oh my God, he is one. And then like, I think the Bundy thing kind of became like this trend, because then like a lot of stuff started coming out after that. And there was a movie made a little bit later on, with Zac Efron and Lily Collins. And I remember watching that one. I was watching that one by myself, because I think I think we were like split up for good, but he was still like trying to email me. I don't think we were together anymore. But I remember watching the scene where, you know, this movie is about Ted Bundy and his longtime girlfriend, and she stayed with him through him being accused of killing all these women. And, you know, she stayed with him for most of it. She ended up leaving him at the end, but she stayed with him, and she really struggled to figure out who he was. Who is this man? Is this man this wonderful man that came into my life and swooped me up and took care of me and my daughter and just is like the nicest person ever and I'm so lucky? Or is he a serial killer who like is obsessed with women and sexualizes them and, you know, kills them? That's what the movie's about. I remember watching that and I was just like, wow, I like really, really relate to that, right? Like, who is this person? Is this person this wonderful person he says he is? And he's just got some messed up stuff going on? Or is he a psychopath that has no emotionality, or like ability to feel remorse and is obsessed with, you know, sexualizing women and like doesn't care that he like is destroying people's lives? Because at this point, too, I knew, you know, he had a history of this, and I didn't have, like, a lot of details. I hadn't dug that far into it yet, but was just, like, highly suspicious that there had been a lot of women who felt the way I did about him and had to go through what I went through with him. So, but I remember at the end of that movie, so after she had, like, left him, and it was, like, 10 years later, and he had been in prison, she went back and she visited him and she brought in some photographs of some of the bodies from the murders he was accused of. And she looks at him and he's like, oh, that's a beautiful ring, because she had a wedding ring on. She's like, oh, I'm not, you know, I'm not here for small talk. And she looks at him. And she pulls out this photograph of this really obscene, like, cut-up body where the head was cut off. And she puts the picture up on the glass. And she says, what happened to her head? You know, and he looks at her and he's, like, shaking his head. No, like, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. And she just keeps repeating it. What happened to her head? And she goes, release me. Ted, I need you to release me. That evoked some really intense shit for me watching that scene, because this is a woman who was feeling a lot of inner conflict, right? Like, I've talked a lot about that in this series. And she just wanted to fucking know the truth. And she wanted it from him. Right? She had, you know, like, there's evidence. Like, it was very clear that this man had, like, done all these things. But he had never admitted it to her. And she wanted that admission. And she said, release me. And I think that I'm just like, yeah. You know, I was watching and I'm just like, yeah, release me. You know, release me from this fight within my brain about who you really are. Tell me the fucking truth. Who are you? Who are you? So that I can know and move on with my life and let this go. And the scene ends with him. He can't even, like, verbally tell her. He can't verbally say it out loud, but he uses the dust on the window and he spells out with his finger in the dust, hacksaw. You know, yeah, I did it with a hacksaw. So that was his admission to her. And then she, like, runs out, and there's the next scene is her in the hallway at the prison, and she just drops to her knees and she has all these flashbacks of the good times when he was so sweet to her, and just, like, their loving romantic relationship that they had. And, you know, she just drops to her knees and she has flashbacks of all of that. And she is just coming to the conclusion of, oh my God, that really was all a lie. And the whole time I was in this relationship with this persona, this is who I was really with. I so felt that when I watched that scene. So, when I started this podcast, I was really scared too. But I wanted to because, well, there was a couple of reasons. Mostly, I wanted to help people who were going through what I was going through, because it's fucking hard. And there's not a lot of support out there right now for it. There's not a lot of, there's just not. You know, I had a hard time figuring out even what I was going through. And then when I went looking for how to support myself, it took me a little bit to figure out how to do that, because there's just not a lot out there, you know, about it. I wanted to learn about it. I wanted to learn about what had happened to me. And, you know, I just, like, went through article after article after article, and I finally ended up learning about Stockholm Syndrome. Now I have, like, a really good understanding of that. But I still just have, like, a lot of questions, and this is something that I have moved towards in my career. So I'm definitely still focusing on people who are suffering from depression and wanting to end their life. That's still, like, I think, like, the root of my career and probably always will be. But I am going to do some work in this. I want to understand this better. I want to understand how this dynamic, like, forms, how it does this, like, why, you know, why I went through what I went through, why I had all those crazy emotions. And I've learned a lot, and I can give you a lot of explanation I have in this series. But so that was probably the main reason I wanted to do this podcast. But I wanted to also do it because for a while, when all this was, like, new for me and fresh for me, and I was like, holy shit, I was with someone who's like this, I was scared. I was scared. 'Cause I had had some moments where he was creepy, you know, he was creepy and I was scared of him. And, you know, and he did get physical with me at the end. He did. And it wasn't, you know, I think when you think domestic violence, you think of a man punching a woman in the face. You know, he never did that to me. But he did hurt me, you know, he did. He would hold me down. He would block doorways so that I couldn't leave when I was trying to leave. He would throw things at me. And I think, like, the, you know, the worst incident that we had, you know, it did get, like, bloody. It wasn't him punching me in the face. It wasn't that. It was really creepy. It was while we were sleeping together, and he was mad at me that night. We just had, like, a fight, and I just was confrontational with him, and it was kind of, like, towards the end where I had started seeing other people, and there was, like, no commitment anymore, and, but I was still just addicted to the cycle, and I went over there that night to hang out, and I hadn't seen my friends, you know, we had, like, a lot of mutual friends at this point, and we'd been together for a long time, so I went over there, he had a party, and I went over there, and I wanted to see everybody, and then I drank, and I ended up staying the night with him, and we slept together, and while this was happening, and he was on top of me, he kind of had that face change, where, like, the lights go out inside, kind of that blank stare, and he was on top of me, and he held me down, and he dug his fingernails into my skin, like, on my sides of my torso, and he scratched me so hard, like, I was bleeding. It was bad. And I just remember, like, being so scared in that moment. Like, he was really hurting me. He was injuring me and holding me down. And I was naked and having sex with him. And I froze up. I didn't fight back. And, you know, then he continued to, like, get really rough with me, and I kind of just froze up, and it was non-consensual at that point, and it was rough, and he hurt me. So I laid there that night and didn't sleep. And I had to get up and go to the bathroom. He was sleeping at this point, and I got up and I looked down at the sheets, and they were super bloody, from my back and my sides that he had, dug into and torn open. And also, you know, from him hurting me during sex. So I went to the bathroom, and, like, obviously that was really painful. And I just started crying. You know, I didn't know what to do. And I started crying, and I was like, okay, I just need to get out of here. Like, don't get back in that bed with him. Look at what he did to you. I just felt so defeated and so just like, he makes me feel, when he does stuff like that to me, well, he won't ever do it again, but when he did stuff like that to me, it makes me feel like I'm not even a human. Like, I'm just a body to him that he doesn't care about. Right? So this is what would scare me. And so I left that night. He woke up as I was taking off. And, you know, he's like, where are you going? And I'm like, I'm leaving. Look at your sheets. Like, you really hurt me tonight. I'm in a lot of pain. I'm going to go to the doctor tomorrow and, like, go see my OBGYN because I think I'm hurt. You know, there's, like, I'm, like, bleeding and it won't stop. And he got really mad. He was not sorry. He was not sympathetic. He was throwing a fit because I was leaving, and he was mad about it. He was like, why are you leaving in the middle of the night? That's so fucked up. He didn't say one word about what my body looked like, what his sheets looked like, or what he had done to me. He said, that's so fucked up, you're leaving in the middle of the night. So, I don't know. I really hesitated to share that experience on this show. And I think it's mostly because I still had some inner conflict going on and I didn't want to, like, embarrass him or, like, out him to that point. But I don't care anymore. I'm going to say it. So I think that's probably the second scariest experience that I had with him. There was another really bad experience that I had where he didn't physically injure me, but he got really mad at me and he was threatening me. He was threatening to try to get me kicked out of nursing school. You know, I'm a cop. They're going to believe me. They're not going to believe you. I'm going to say all this stuff about you and take your career away from you that you've worked so hard for. And he was just really angry and mean. And that was kind of like the first full on, like, threatening, mean, weird ass episode I had with him. So this was a little bit earlier in the relationship. And he was just like terrorizing me emotionally. Like, I was really scared that he was going to do that. And then I went back over there after he did that to me. And I was like, shit, I'm really in a bad spot with this relationship. Like, I know this person wants to hurt me and he gets very angry and, like, doesn't care about my well-being, you know? And I'm over here again. What am I doing? So over, like, a couple days, I think, like, this was, like, the height of my gaslighting with him, because he really gaslit me after that. I said all that to him. I was like, you don't care about me. You don't care about my well-being. Like, people that love other people don't say things like that to them, you know? And he was just gaslighting me, like, no, you know, you just don't understand. Like, I do love you. I've tried to love you. You don't let me love you. Things like that he would say to me. I mean, it was just a lot. So I was, like, the crazy making was at its height at this point in our relationship. And I was so anxious and just, like, felt so crazy because this man was scaring the shit out of me. And I couldn't stop going back over to his house and having sex with him. And so this one night I was over there, and after that incident where he was threatening me, I started to get really scared that he was going to get physical with me. My body was telling me, Jen, run, like, don't go around this person. You're going to get hurt. Like, that's what I was feeling in a very strong way. So I started hiding my car keys when I would go over there. I was scared that something, sorry, I got cut off there. Someone called my phone. So my recording got cut off anyways. So it was, like, getting to a point where my body was signaling to me, like, okay, like, this is dangerous. You need to, like, be careful. And so I would start hiding my car keys. At first, I was hiding them in the house in different spots. He had a drawer that was near like the exit of the house. He lived in a townhouse, so it was like you walked in and there were stairs, and you would go up the stairs, and then it was his living room and kitchen. And so, like, right to that passageway where the stairs go down to the front door, there was a drawer with a bunch of Tupperware in it. And so I started putting my keys in there. I would like hide my keys in the Tupperware. And then I was like, well, that's going to be kind of hard to like get out and then like run down to my car. So then I just started like keeping my car key on me. And he like saw me doing that and like said something one day and was like, why do you have your car key in your bra? Cause I like put it in my sports bra. And I was like, oh, I forgot it was in there. I went on a run earlier. He's like, okay. And then, so one night I went back over there and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to leave my car keys in my, car, you know. I didn't care about my car getting stolen at this point. I was so freaked out that it was more important for me to have an escape route. So I did. I left my car keys in my car right near the ignition where I could quickly put them in and drive off. So I didn't stay the night that night. We ended up getting in a fight. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go home. Like, I don't want to stay here with you. I don't feel good right now. And was getting that creeped out feeling, like hardcore, and my heart was fucking pounding, and I was like, okay, you need to just get out of here. And he's like, okay, well, let me walk you to your car. He hadn't walked me to my car in so long. Like, we had been together for so long, like he wasn't doing that anymore. He wasn't like walking me to my car, you know? So I was like, shit. And so we walk out to my car, and I tried to like kind of like stand in front of my driver's side window and like give him a hug or whatever so that he wouldn't see. And he saw. He saw, and then we just kind of like locked eyes and he didn't say anything for what felt like a really long time. It was probably only like 30 seconds, but he was just looking at me, and then he smiled really big. He has like big white bright teeth. He smiled at me and he goes, you know, your car can get stolen like that. And the hair on the back of my neck stood up. So this is the point in the relationship where I felt the most crazy, because I knew that I was really afraid of this man, but I couldn't stay away from him. So if you've listened to this series, I've explained a lot of the psychology behind this, but there's still a lot I don't understand about it. But I think the main thing is this back and forth ordeal of having experiences like that with somebody, right? Like, that's so extreme. That's scary. Let me tell you, I was scared. You know, and then I'd stay away from him for a couple days, and then I'd, you know, we'd do the whole thing where he like sucked me back in and I would go back over there, and then he would be like wonderful to me. Wonderful for like 2 to 3 weeks. We would like have all this passionate sex and like make love, and like, and then he'd like get me back to a place where I was like, oh, you're like way overthinking this. He's not like that. He really loves you. He cares about you. He would never do anything to you. I remember another night very, very vividly where I was laying in bed with him, and I had that really bad feeling again where like, I was like, okay, this guy is fucking weird. Like, you shouldn't be here right now. And I was just having like a really hard time. I was like shaking. I was really anxious. And I was laying on him and I started to cry. And he's like, "What's wrong, Jen?" And I was quiet for a second. And then I looked up at him and I said, "You'd never do anything to me, right?" And he didn't say anything. He just laid there. And I rolled over. And again, was like in that space where I'm like, okay, you need to get up and leave. You need to get up and leave. And he went to sleep. And I just remember laying there. And I was afraid to leave. I was afraid to get up out of that bed. This was after the car keys incident, but I was scared that he was going to do something to me if I tried to get up and leave. And I laid there and I was like, you know, something could very well happen to you tonight. You need to quit coming over here. You have a daughter. You know, and I had to like lay there and first of all, take accountability for coming back into a space that felt that dangerous and putting myself in that position. Knowing that I have a child that if something did happen to me would be without a parent. And I laid there and I thought about her and what her life would be like if something did happen to me. So, you know, I went through this a lot with him. This was just like kind of, this is the phase I went through right before I busted him on everything and ended up being able to like leave for good. You know, and obviously we have had contact since then, since like the breakaway. But I had to go through a couple experiences being that scared. And then also busting him. Like I had to have confirmation that he was this much of a liar. Like I was just so confused. It's confusing when you have this intermittent experience of being that scared of someone and then them being so loving towards you and convincing you that like they're the love of your life. And then you're so scared again. And it's just like, that's what creates the addictive nature. So I want to touch on that a little bit. Because this is obviously a long process. It's insidious. You don't notice that it's happening to you until you're so fucking deep in it that you're like frozen. You can't do anything. You're already just like so addicted. Your head's spinning. They're gaslighting you. You feel crazy. You go to therapy. You get told you're in an abusive relationship, right? So I kind of thought about, okay, where does the beginning of that start? How can I teach someone, you know, this is the point where you have to stop the relationship in order to not get this hooked. You know, I want to educate young girls, like before they even start dating, you know, these are the red flags to look out for. These are the behaviors to look out for. This is what consent looks like. This is what consent does not look like. This is what crazy making looks like, you know, this is, you know, these are the signs of a pathological liar, so on and so forth. And so this last time, let's start talking about what's been going on recently now. So kind of, as you all know, like I started to go into a space where I was hanging out with him around, like in a group setting. And then I got like curious again and was like, okay, well, maybe I can just get some closure. So we started like having these coffee dates or like, you know, he would like meet up with me and he would let me like ask all my questions and he would give me all these detailed explanations and he would admit to everything. So I felt like I was getting that, you know, what I talked about in that movie, that like release me moment where he was finally telling me everything he did to me and he was apologizing for it and feeling remorse for it. You know, telling me that he really like wants to get some help and wants to get better because he destroyed the relationship with the love of his life. And he was feeling remorseful. He was able to convince me that he was feeling a lot of the same feelings I had about it, which is like sadness over us not like being together and having children together. You know, he would go on and on about that. And then from those conversations and those meetups, I fell back into a sexual relationship with him again for a couple of months. And I'm a different person now. So it was a much different experience. I didn't feel crazy. I didn't really feel a whole lot of anxiety around him. What's funny is at the end, when I started to get suspicious that he was dating multiple people at once again, we went to dinner the last night I saw him, and his hands were super shaky. And he was playing it cool, you know, Rico Suave, but like just his body language looked nervous to me. And I said something to him. I was like, "You seem a little nervous tonight," you know, like, "What's up?" And he just got really weird. And then he started to try to make me feel weird. He's like, "You're being weird. You're being weird, and it's making me feel weird." And I was like, "No, you were like this when you showed up. What's up?" And then I started to like grill him. And then from there, you know, just like within a couple of days, like I started asking a bunch of questions about the situation that was going on and like his living situation. And then a few days later, I get all these messages from his, this woman that he had been seeing. That I was aware of, like, I knew that he had dated her in the past, but he, of course, had told me that they had broken up. So I get all these messages from her, and, you know, she's, like, asking me all this shit about my relationship with him, and I guess he had told her that, like, we were just friends, and he talks to me a lot, because, you know, he's, like, close with me still. And it was just an emotional thing, and so she called me up, and she wanted to ask about that, because she believed him. And I didn't really know what to say at first. I was just kind of like, all right, like, this is weird again. And so I didn't talk to her for very long. What I said to her was, like, you know, "I'm sorry, I didn't know, like, that you guys were still together." You know, was kind of asking her about some timeline things to try to figure out, like, when this all started so I could confront him. Told her, like, what he basically was telling me, you know, that they had broken up, that they were not, you know, a couple anymore. And she was asking me, you know, she's like, "I just feel so defeated. I want to be close with him like you are. And anytime there's any kind of conflict in the relationship, or there's been any kind of rockiness in our relationship, he picks up the phone and he calls you, and it really upsets me. I don't know why he won't just talk to me." And I said to her, I'm like, "I've been dealing with this person for a long time, and he has some really complicated, you know, mental health problems. Like, he's sick." And I said, if you want to talk more, I can, but like my break was over and I had to go back to work. So I sent her a message that night and I said, "I just want you to know before you go to bed tonight that it's not you, you know, there's nothing you could have done different. It's not that you're not good enough. This is just who he is. And he always does this." So, the next day, we talked again, and she was pretty nasty to me. You know, I was like, just telling her straight up like what had gone on, sending her the validation that she needed with like pictures and things that were said about her and about the situation, so that she could make a decision for herself to, you know, get away from this person. And I knew that she probably wouldn't. You know, I remember being in her shoes where, like, this is like the first big bad incident, right? Like, I talked about that before, and I knew that she probably was having a strong urge to stay. And so she started to get nasty with me and try to blame the situation on me, kind of victim blaming, like, you know what, you had this experience with him before, why did you think it was going to be any different? You need to respect when people have a relationship, you need to this, you need to that, and just went on this tangent about how I was like all of the problem and was completely like leaving his responsibility out of it. And then she like presumed to go on about like me as a human being and just like completely degraded me as a human being and said some really, really nasty things to me. I lost my cool, and I did have some words for her back. But I was honest with her, and I'll apologize to her at some point, you know. It was hurtful. It was hurtful. And all I was doing was standing up for myself. You know, I like went back and read the messages, and I was like, okay, like there probably could have been like, you could have said that like more delicately or something. But you know what? I was just standing up for myself. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of like this thing of it being the woman's fault. You know, I'm fucking sick of it. So I pretty much just told her, like, you know, this is the history I've had with him. I've definitely been in your shoes. I've been right where you've been. Like, I am regretful for not, like, making sure that he wasn't still seeing you. Because I thought about that. I was like, you know what, you should probably make sure you're not doing this to another person. Because I had started sleeping with him again. And I didn't. So I did admit to her, like, hey, I'm regretful about that. I'm sorry, you know. But she just, I think she's just really hurt right now. And so she just like went off, which I get it. But I am a human being with feelings. And, you know, I just had to like put up those boundaries. Like, hey, I get what you're going through, but like, don't talk to me like that. Don't talk to me like I'm less of a human being than you. Don't talk to me like I'm stupid. I'm not stupid, you know. I knew that there was a large possibility that he was seeing other people, but honestly, it's just gotten to a point with him where it's like, he's just gonna like lie anyway. So it's like hard for me to even like want to put in the effort to go around to like all these groups and like try to figure out who he's sleeping with and go, hey, are you sleeping with him? Hey, are you sleeping with him? Hey, are you sleeping with him? Like, I just don't have the energy for that anymore. And I don't care. You know, I think when I do this with him, it's just, obviously it's like a weak spot for me, or it has been, which is normal for an abusive relationship to do this. In the last episode, I talked about how I need to cope differently. I do, right? I need to cope differently. I need to quit going back and getting that quick fix when I'm having a hard time over what's happened to me with him. And getting that quick fix to make it feel all better. Because all it does is get me in deeper. Right? Like, here I am again in this explosive situation that I don't fucking want to deal with. Reflecting back on kind of how this happened again. I mean, it was a lot quicker of a process this time. And, you know, as I stated before, I'm a different person now, so it just felt very different. And I guess I just needed, and this is what I told her. She's like, well, why did you even like go back after knowing all of this? And I said, I don't know. I guess I just needed that final confirmation. Because he was making me feel like he maybe was feeling remorse, and he was able to convince me, even knowing all the things I know about him, you know, able to convince me that he had done some emotional shifting and growing. And he got me to a place, right, where like the cycle started over. He came in, nice guy, made me feel super safe again, knew what to say to get me to feel safe again. And that is hard because I know a lot about abusive behavior now, you know? But he still was able to get in there and do what he needed to do to get me to a place where I was wondering, you know, it was still like, I was still very apprehensive, but he got me to a place where he had me wondering again if he actually was a person who does these things and doesn't feel remorse and like he can't change. And so I think him sparking that in me again caused me to dive back in and have to have that confirmation again that no, he doesn't feel remorse. Yes, you're right about him. You know, I told her that I've just been confused about who he really is. It's really hard. And that's why. So, you know, she went on to like kind of have this narrative that he treats her differently, he's going to treat her differently, that she somehow is like different than me. You know, she's like, I'm the queen, he was paying my mortgage, he gave me all the attention I wanted, like all these things, and just presumed to like really put me down. You know, I get it. She has to like make herself feel big. This guy just really convinced her that she's the one. And then she just found out that he has been doing this. And, you know, it doesn't feel good. I've been there. And I did that too a little bit. I'm friends with the girl now, but, you know, I had to go back and apologize to her. But the first time I found out that he slept with somebody, I did that too. I kind of was more mad at her than I was at him. And I was like, leave us alone. Go away. This is partially your fault. You know. So I get it. But I told her, I said, this is the first hit. Right? Like, it's not physical, but this is the first hit. Do not go back. You need to feel it. You need to feel that gaping hole he has just put in your heart, soul, and being. Do not let him beg. Do not let him cry as to make you feel guilty for what he has done to you. And for the love of God, do not let him touch you, hold you, and make you feel all better. That is where it becomes a trauma bond. I said earlier I really wanted to figure out where the turning point was, and I think this is it. That's how your brain learns this person, turns off the excruciating pain that you go through, that this is the moment you are handing him your ability to make you're handing him the ability to make decisions for yourself. This is the moment the sex becomes addictive. That is where the wound and the morphine become one. That is the moment you give up your ability for a very long time not to go back. So don't try and feel all better right now. This is not supposed to fucking feel all better. And if you do allow him to do that to you right now, in the end, he will have the capability to hurt you so, so much worse. And you don't deserve it. Nobody does. So, Dear next girl, though you were unkind to me, I do not wish this upon you. And unlike you, I'm not going to victim blame. I am not weak because I chose to be brave and vulnerable enough to go back and give it one last shot. I knew it would be the last time. It was part of my healing process. I am not stupid for being wise enough to know that I needed the confirmation I received in this experience. I am not pathetic because I wanted to believe him. I am aware that this would most likely be the outcome, and I was prepared and ready for it. And when it came this time, I wasn't scared of him. Maybe I needed one more opportunity to catch him in a lie like that and tell him exactly how I feel. How all the women feel that he has done this to. And that I'm no longer ashamed of what he put me through. I'm not ashamed. I'm a survivor. I'm going to wrap up with some final thoughts. And I decided that I think this is going to be the finale to season two. I'm going to go ahead and start a new season after this because I just need a fresh start. So I'll have that fresh start with you guys. I'm going to take some time after I release this episode to really reflect on what's happened to me this time. Again. Because this time was different. It felt different. It was a different experience. And so I'm going to reflect on that. And then I'm going to share what I figure out about that. And I'm going to continue to do that. Because survivors of abusive relationships need to understand what happened to them and why they feel the way they feel. That's what's grounding when you've gone through this. When someone has made you feel so crazy, that's what you need. You need someone to say, I believe you. And for me, it was really helpful when I started joining support groups to have other people saying, I believe you. And I went through that too. It was alarming to me when I started to reach out to other survivors how similar the relationship looked. I mean, even down to like what they say, especially in the beginning, it was like the same person talking, it sounded like. I was like, are you sure you didn't date my ex? Because it sounds just like that. So here's my kind of my final thoughts. First of all, I'm not scared anymore of him. I do think that he is a dangerous person. He was physically abusive to me. I do know that if I would have chosen to stay in a serious relationship with him and in that house with him, that the physical abuse would have gotten worse. And I have no idea how bad it would have gotten. And I don't want to find out. And kind of going through this thing with this other gal that he was doing this to, you know, I'm not angry with her. I mean, that was hurtful what she said to me. But like I said before, like, I get it. I'm not angry with her. I'm angry with him. She's a little older than us. She's in her 40s and she's got two kids. And it just pisses me off that he does this to people. He meets people and does this to them and gets so ingrained in their life and gets them so attached and then just destroys them emotionally. It's terrible. And I'm not afraid to say that out loud.
I'm not afraid to say anything I just said out loud anymore. That's why I decided to share all that today. I think that's really what I'm feeling today, is I am not scared of you anymore, and I'm not scared to say exactly what you did to me anymore. I remember when I was able to finally break away, and I found out, you know, he was dating like 5 other people. I remember feeling really discouraged, and I knew that he was messed up and that it had nothing to do with me. Right, like rationally, I knew that. But emotionally, it was hard. It left me feeling like, what could I have done better? What could I have done differently? Maybe it is me. Maybe I wasn't enough for him. And when it got really bad, I just found myself feeling, you know, I wanted to be enough for him. And that's so sad to me to think about now. And it's sad to me to think about this other woman who's going through that right now. You know, she used a lot of put downs and things to like shield herself from letting me know that that's what she's experiencing. But I'm not stupid. I know that's what you're experiencing. And it's really hard. I'm going to read a passage that I found when it was my turn, when I was freshly out and I was feeling all of those really deep, deep, you know, emotions around not feeling good enough and why he treats me the way he does. I read this to people when they come to my support group and they're freshly out and they're in that state. I think it's really helpful. So I will go ahead and close with this. And then I'll come back when I have had time to kind of break some of this stuff down and figure out what happened this time. But the passage reads, "You do understand that one of the main reasons why I didn't pursue you romantically is because you are intelligent enough to not be manipulated. I tend to pick off the weakest member of the herd, typically the craziest. You are far too mature and centered for me. I hope you take this as a compliment. Even though you are beautiful, I could not find a weakness anymore. That put me at a disadvantage. And as one who is obsessed with power and control, I could not pursue you any longer because I cannot pursue someone who I see as an equal." Much love, guys. Till next time.